judgment, high intelligence, but without physical bodies. There you go. There you go. And so last week, last Friday, we talked about how God sees humankind or mankind in comparison to angels. If you remember that discussion, we understand through the Word of God as we study it that God actually views humankind or mankind higher than he does angels, and if not higher, definitely differently. And the point of distinction that shows how much God loves us is that when angels sinned, they were not offered an opportunity at redemption. They weren't given an opportunity to repent. Unlike humankind or mankind, we are given an opportunity. Just like angels disobeyed and sinned and fell, so did mankind. We disobeyed, sinned, and fell. But for us, God has provided an opportunity for repentance and therefore have a shot at redemption, not just to be restored to where we were, but as we learned in the Word of God, that when the kingdom of Christ is fully come, we'll actually have a place in God's kingdom higher than angels. And that's what we learned on last Friday. Those were the scriptures we were going through, how that laid that out in the Word of God, that in the coming of Christ's kingdoms, the angels will actually be ministering to us. Ministering meaning serving us, as God will have elevated us in our redeemed bodies to a place in his kingdom that is above angels. And so we look at that and can see that God has plans for us. You follow what I'm saying? Both in this world and in the world to come. And so that was last Friday, and so you guys have the notes on that and you have the thoughts on that. But tonight, we want to talk about our relationship to how are we to view angels. We're learning about them just so we can be knowledgeable of them, who they are, what they are, their plan and purpose in God's overall plan for both heaven and earth. But what should our relationship be towards angels? Because, and we'll look at it here in a moment, there were some in biblical times who their form of religion was to worship angels. Not worship God, but to worship angels. And so if we're not careful, we can fall into that. We began to worship, whether it be angels or anything else, the Word of God says what? Thou shalt have what? No other God before me. You know what I mean? If anyone is to be worshipped, if anyone is to praise, it is God alone. And not any other being that he has created. So we're going to look at some of that tonight. How worshiping angels is not correct. Receiving false doctrine from angels is incorrect. Just because there are angels, we know just in the course of our study that there are holy angels and fallen angels. Okay, and so we have to be careful that we not entertain a fallen angel and mistake him for being an angel of light. You follow what I'm saying? Because that can happen as well and lead us astray. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Galatians 1 and 8. Let's start there and begin to work our way down. Galatians 1 and 8. You guys have that? Starting at verse 6, it says, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you into the grace of Christ. And they're turning to what Paul calls here a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if any one preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed, even if it is an angels. The Galatians should receive no messenger, regardless of how impeccable his credential, if his doctrine of salvation differs in the slightest degree from God's truth revealed through Jesus Christ and his apostle. So we always have to remember that angels have sinned, have that capacity to err, to disobey God, and can bring a different gospel. We see Satan himself. Our first time seeing him in Scripture, he's preaching what? A different gospel. Right? Isn't that what he's doing? When he comes to Eve in the garden as a serpent? The word of God is already out there, and Adam and Eve already have it. Everything is good, just do not eat of this tree. That's the word of God. He gave it to them direct. They have it. But then here comes the serpent preaching what? Another gospel. A false gospel. God said not. He said it's okay. You follow what I'm saying? And that's why we always have to go back to the word of God, so that we can have that. That is our measuring stick. That's the start and ending point. If it doesn't match back to the word of God, then we can't receive it. Do you follow? Even if the messenger, now Paul's type here, I think Paul's point here is not that angels would do it, even though they could do it, but Paul's point here is if someone who was awe-inspiring said it, don't go for it. You know, whoever your most admired person is in the world, if they start preaching another gospel, I don't care how much you like them, we can't go for that. Do you follow? That's his point here, saying whether it be me, whether it be an angel that comes to you, ain't nobody that good, that great, that we're going to follow their word against and over God's word. Do you follow what I'm saying? And so that's where Paul's going with that. Even angels have the capacity to do it, not that they would, but they could. But if they do, we're not to follow him. Paul makes this warning because he knows that there is a possibility of deception, right? That's what happened in the garden. The Bible is very clear to say that Eve did not sin. Eve was deceived. She was tricked into doing what she did, right? Go to 2 Corinthians 11:14. 2 Corinthians 11:14. Just turn back a couple pages. You guys have that? 2 Corinthians 11:14. Verse 12. But what I do, I will also continue to do, that I may cut off the opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to be regarded just as we are in the things which they boast. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. So that not only does Satan transform himself into an angel of light, but his ministers, his evil workers, those he has hired to promote his agenda, they also do the same. Transform themselves into images of light, images of respectability, believability, high trust factor. You follow what I'm saying? Everything going for them, working for them. In spite of all of that, we've got to stick to the Word of God. You follow what I'm saying? It is sticking to the Word of God where we get the gift of perception. Discerning. This is how we get a discerning spirit. The better part of a discerning spirit is having the Word of God in you. It's what helps you discern. Do you follow what I'm saying? Because absent the Word of God and just our own judgment, our own whatever, we can all be deceived. We can all be tricked. We can all be fooled or bamboozled. But when we have the Word of God rooted in it, that helps us. That don't sound kosher. That don't feel kosher. And the more Word you have, that's what fuels the Holy Spirit in you. Now the Holy Spirit, now you got the Word against it. Now you got the Spirit against it. Now you got two or three witnesses working against it. Do you follow what I'm saying? That says in spite of what he looks like on the outside, he's got a bright appearance. He looks like an angel of light, but he's not speaking the truth. Do you follow what I'm saying? And therefore we're able to prevent ourselves from being deceived because it can happen to all of us. It says these warnings should keep any Christian from being fooled by the claims of any false religion. They highlight here Mormons. For in the Mormon religion, they claim that an angel, Moroni, spoke to Joshua Smith and revealed to him the basis of the Mormon religion. And this revelation is contrary to the teaching of Scripture at many points. Some include the doctrine of the Trinity, the person of Christ, justification by faith alone, and others. And Christians should be warned against accepting these claims. Now the unbeliever is going to go just because they don't have anything else to hold them back. Oh, well, that sounds good. Let's go with that. Let's do that. But we who have been baptized into the body of Christ and now have the Word of God in us, we're weighing it all against the Word of God. My kids are getting older now, so as they ask questions about this or that, I'm trying to remind, what does the Word of God say? You know, before we accept what your friends have said or what your teacher, what does the Word of God say? What have y'all learned that in while? What has the Word? I'm trying to teach them now. You got to start weighing stuff against the Word of God. You know, you're not always going to have your parents or whoever else. At some point, you got to begin up and say, wait a minute, I gotta put this against the Word. What does the Word of God say about this? Where can I find that in the Word of God? If you don't know what the Word of God says, how do I go and find out? How do I go and dig it out for myself so that now I'll know how to weigh in? One of the things Jordan's having a tough time with, he's taking a philosophy class. He said everything they teach in philosophy is contrary to, and he don't know what to do. He's all over the world. You know, you got to go with the program to get get the, you know, but he's like that. I was like, yeah, I know. I said, but you have to know where you believe. I'm not, you don't go in there and just go toe to toe with your professor, but you, there will be opportunities presented to you for you to stand on what you know and what you believe. You're not in there to make a spectacle and tell him he's wrong and all that. No. You gotta, you know, be with the program, whatever, all that, blah, blah, blah. But if they say write an essay and give your reasons. You follow what I'm saying? You know, you're coming to me because you don't feel right about this and it don't feel like that. You're not gonna go in there every day and make that post. But when you get an opportunity to write or to speak in that way and the floor is open, well, then you got to speak what you know. Don't cow back. You know what I mean? No, you do say something. That's your opportunity to speak and make a stand for Christ. But he said it's all atheism. And I was like, yeah, well, that's about right. That's what it is. And I'm just glad that he can see it. He's not seeing it. It's not a smart thing. That's just, he's got the Word of God in him. It's been put in, and now he's got something to weigh up. All the other guys sitting there like, all right, professor, whatever you say, that's the way it is, that's the way it is. You know, but he's uneasy with it. He said, no, Dad, this ain't right. This ain't, yeah. And I said, no, that, you're right. You're not good. This is what I want to see. You know what I mean? Your professor may not want to see it, but you know what I mean? But like I said, you got to, you know, play within the lines, but you'll get a chance. There'll be an opportunity to say something, to write something, and then you'll be able to express your faith. You'll be able to express what you believe. Because he can't grade you right or wrong on that. If he opens the door, then, hey, what you believe is what you believe. It may be different than yours, but this, you didn't save me to come in agreement with you. This question was, what do you believe? Or what do you think about it? Well, this is what I think. I think what the Word of God says. The Word of God said, you follow what I'm saying? And so that's how we got to be able to handle that, to be equipped with the Word of God, so that when we get out in the world and we are confronted with information contrary to the Word of God, we can weigh it. We can discern it. You know what I mean? For ourselves and say, no, this isn't what I've been taught. Right? Isn't that our motto? Continuing what? And what you have been taught. You follow what I'm saying? It'll aid you as you go forward in life. And so that's an example of that. And so we want to be sure and make sure that we're standing on the Word of God, regardless of who's presenting it. And even if they present contrary, we have the Word of God to say, no, that's not what I believe. Then here we want to also talk about I mentioned this, the worship of angels. Go to Colossians 2:18. Colossians, the second chapter, 18th verse. You guys have that? 2:18, Colossians. Sixteen says, let no one judge you in food or in drink, or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbath, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ. Let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his own fleshly mind. Paul warns the Colossians not to allow the false teachers to cheat them of their temporal blessings or eternal reward by luring them into irrational mysticism. I've never seen more people do things now without an explanation than I've ever seen before. Nobody knows why they're doing anything. I'm just doing it. But why are you doing it? And I mean, and they have no reason. I don't know. And they're not saying I don't know just to get out of a tight. They say I don't, and they really don't know. Do you follow what I'm saying? He talks about false humility. The false teachers took great delight in it, and their humility was actually pride, which God hates. Some people, they act like they're humble, but they're not really humble. Then it talks about here, what I want is the worship of angels, the beginning of a heresy that was to plague the region around Colossae for several centuries and far beyond. A practice the Bible clearly prohibits. Matthew 4:10 and Revelations 19:10. But here, around Colossae in biblical times, this was a very strong religious cult, the worshiping of angels. In spite of having a church established there, in spite of having Paul and other ministers there, there were other false teachers who come in and now try to divert the word of God, saying, no, we ought not to worship God. We are to worship his angels instead now deifying them, even as some men deify other men. If there's anything to be worshipped, anyone to be glorified, it is God and God alone. But this is what can happen when you don't have the Word of God or don't stick to the Word of God. You'll find yourself worshipping anything. Worshipping anybody. One of the things you find in the Old Testament that God always points out over and over again about the other gods, you always see him point this out. He said, now look at your God. Your God is this idol or this statue or whatever they wanted it to be. He said, you made your God. So how can he be a God if you created him? I mean, over and over, you just, all the stories you talk about, oh, car, that's why you see all the stuff in the Old Testament about graven images and car. They would make their own gods to have something to worship. And God would have just said, just think about this. How could your God be a God if you made him? If you made him, instead of praying him to rain, you make it rain. You made your God, make it rain. You follow on? But man, just foolish, could never see it. And just, oh no, that's our God, and we bow down to it, and we sacrifice to it. Your God is made of wood. We're not even going to deal with the religion. That's, who made the wood that made your God? I mean, they just couldn't see it. Just foolishness. Like, what in the world is... You follow? I mean, it's all over the Old Testament. Every time they got God just gets so frustrated. He's like, are you guys even looking at this stuff? Are you guys even thinking clearly through this stuff? But over and over, book after book, chapter after chapter, they got another God, another image, another this, another that. You know, but that's what can happen if you don't have the Word of God. You can believe a lie and think it's true, because you have nothing to counterbalance it, nothing to go against it. You follow what I'm saying? Next thing you know, you're way down the road and wondering how you got there. You follow what I'm saying? So whether it's worship of angels or anything, it's not right. But if you don't have the Word of God, like I said, to help counterbalance that, you'll find yourself down the road. Look at Revelations 19:10. Because here's some good counsel. Let's see what this guy's talking about. Revelations 19:10. He said, "Look, let me set the record straight." Verse 9, then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, see that you do not do that. I am your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Overwhelmed by the grandeur of the vision he had just seen, John collapsed in worship before the angel. But the angel forbade him, for the Bible forbids the worship of angels. Even though what he saw was of God, even though this angel was his conduit to this vision of God, the angel was the one who brought him up. And so overwhelmed by it, and so thankful that this guy had escorted him, this angel had now brought him into this place in the spirit where he could see such things and hear such things, he did what anybody would do. He fell at his feet to worship. But this angel provides an example for us, not only the guideline for us, he provides the example. He said, don't worship me. I'm just like you. I'm what? I'm highly intelligent. Like you, I've got moral judgment. The only difference between you and I, you have a body and I don't. You have the testimony of Jesus Christ and I have it too. And therefore, we ought to worship God because all of this is God's doing. This is the unveiling of God's plan of redemption. What you're seeing here now, this marriage supper of the Lamb. This, now you're starting to see. This is what those fallen angels never saw, never knew, never understood. This is what the holy angels don't know. It's being unveiled. We're playing it out in front of them. God said he created the world in hidden wisdom. That's in Corinthians somewhere. Called hidden wisdom. And he hid the creation. He hid our redemption. He hid our salvation inside of wisdom. So no one would know what it is to how to unveil it or how to stop it or to undermine it. Slowly but surely, it unveils within human history. You never see Christ at the beginning. All you see is that Adam and Eve are now not naked. That's all you see. Verse whatever, they're naked. The next verse, they're not. The next verse, not only are they not naked, they're covered with skin. Animal skin. Unless you took the skin off that animal and he stayed alive, the implication is what? That animal died. That animal died so that they could. He's unveiling his plan. It's not the full story, but he's giving you highlights. Now you go to movies, you see previews, get you all excited and want to go see. Even then, he was giving a preview of the plan of faith. He didn't unveil the whole thing, but he did let you know what? Someone's going to die for your redemption. Today, it's a lamb. In the volume of the book, it will be a man who comes as what? As a lamb. Why? Helping you to what? Connect what he did in the beginning, what he did in the middle. Then we see Revelation 19. That what? Same lamb. What lamb? From Genesis. To the same lamb that was what? On Calvary. He is our paschal lamb. Now you see the same lamb where? Up in heaven. At the mat. It's being unveiled. Do you follow what I'm saying? And for us, now that we have the word of God, we're not only able to look back and see his plan unfolding, we're also now able to look forward. That's how we know that one day the angels will be ministers to us. Why? We've got it in the Word of God. That's what we talked about all last Friday, showing us, looking for. They don't minister to us now. we're not exalted above them. Now the word of God says what? He made us what? A little lower. Right? But in the coming of his new kingdom, we'll sit in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. And those same angels will now minister to us, now serve us. How do we know that? Well, it's in the word of God. And now I can look forward into the unveiling of God's plan. The revealing of God's plan. Why? It's laid out in the word of God, right? Are you with me on that? And so you have that going on. That's Revelations. So no one should pray to angels. We should pray to God alone. No one should worship angels. We should worship God and Christ alone. Go to 1 Timothy 2 and 5. 1 Timothy. You guys got it? For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. The truth is what? There is one God and one mediator between God and men. And that is the man Christ Jesus. The man Christ Jesus. Can anyone do anything with that, the man? Bonus question. Can anyone do anything with the man? Can you do anything with that, Mary? Huh? She just said no. Can anyone? He said, "There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." Why is the man? Why is that important? The man. He's a kinsman redeemer. Kindred. Kinsman. And what does that mean? So it means he's what? Like us. That's why the lamb, the animal lamb, couldn't do it. That's why they had to keep killing him. Because he wasn't what? He wasn't like us. But the lamb we need to be like us. Right? Because we have a high priest who knows what? We have not a high priest, what? But he can be what? Touched by the feeling of, he knows what it's like to be me. A lamb does not know what it's like to be me. But the man, Christ, even the Son of God doesn't know what it's like to be me. He created me, but he doesn't know what it's like to be me. Do you follow what I'm saying? So now he sends us a kinship. It is his kinship to us and his relationship to the Father that qualifies him to be what? The mediator. Because in him is both what? God, and he's the God-man. There's divinity from his Father and humanity from us. And in him dwells both of us dwell in Christ. He's what? Fully God. And at the same time, what? Fully man. Isn't that his testimony? Thomas, here's the proof. You tell me. Hand me a piece of fish. See if I can eat it. I'm just like you. But at the same time, I'm more than you. I've got divinity in me. All throughout my body. Do you follow what I'm saying? And so it's important for him to be like us so that he not only knows what we feel and how we feel, it's important for him to be like us so that he could bear our sins. He can bear our sins because I know what it's like to be you. So he bears our sins. Why? Because he's like me. You can always tell when you're talking to someone who's not like you. They don't get it. They don't relate. They just, well, whatever. You can just tell they're not like you. You know what I mean? So there's no connection. There's no similarities. There's no koinonia. Nothing's in common. You're different than I am. But he's like us. Like us what? Born of a virgin? You follow what I'm saying? Eat, sleep, drink. Gets tired. Do you follow what I'm saying? But yet fully God. He puts aside his God-like abilities. Takes on a full human form. And only at the instruction of his Father does he tap into his divinity. He said, I could call down a legion of angels. My father didn't give me the authority to tap back into that. It's available. It's there for me. But no, it's more about me being like you now. So that after I fulfill my father's will, it will then be more about you being like me. Now that I've shown you can do it like you. If I came as the Son of God, you would always say, well, that's because you're God. What do you say to the man, Christ Jesus? I'm just like you. Tempted in all points. What does the Word of God say? Like as we are. Do you follow what I'm saying? But the Word of God says what? Yet without sin. He shows us that it can be done. It's not an impossibility. It's a possibility. But it requires him. It requires his Father in order for that to take place in us. And that's why it's important. Paul makes that point. The man, Christ Jesus. Moreover, Scripture gives us no warrant to seek appearances of angel to us. Angels manifest themselves unsought. To seek such appearances would seem to indicate an unhealthy curiosity or desire for some kind of spectacular event rather than a love for God and a devotion to him and to his work. Though angels did appear to people at various times in Scripture, the people apparently never sought those appearances. Our role is rather to talk to the Lord, who himself is the commander of all of the angelic forces. However, it would not seem wrong to ask God to fulfill his promise in Psalms 91 to send angels to protect us in times of our need. And that also came up on last Friday as we talked about our impressions of the angels. So I'm going to stop there because I'm going to close it out next Friday. We're finally moving along the spectrum, and then ultimately we have to talk about these fallen angels. So all the stuff we've talked about so far are in reference to the holy angels, those who are still obedient and serving God. But there are some angels who, according to Jude, have left their appointed place, simply meaning they weren't satisfied with where they were stationed in God's kingdom. And so they left. They chose another way. And so just as holy angels give us a pattern for righteousness, so the fallen angels also give us an example for unrighteousness and ungodliness. And so we're going to look at that on next Friday and also explore this common question. I used to hear it a lot. I don't hear it as much now. And it's funny, you think you would hear more about it now than before. But a common question when you start talking about angels and fallen angels and demons, you get this question a lot, and that is whether or not Christians can be demonically possessed. Get that question a lot. Can Christians, born again believers, can they be demonically possessed? And we'll delve into that on next Friday. And it's nowhere. That's stuff we need to know, because that's what folks are dealing with. Folks are trying to wrestle with that. And when I say folks, I mean unbelievers are trying to wrestle with that. And so having word on background on that will be very, very helpful as we close out on next Friday. Any questions or comments?